Blog Talk Radio.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
bugging. It's one or two suckers, ignorant brothers, trying to rob and steal from one another. You get caught in the mid. So to crush that stereotype, here's what we did. We got ourselves together so that you could unite and fight for what's right. Not negative cause. The way we live is positive. We don't kill our relatives.
Pop, 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 one is shot, who's to blame? Headline, front page, and rap, the name. MC's the light here to state the bottom line. The black on black crime was way before our time.
Sugar Brothers, life with a knife. That's cause he died a trifling death when he left his very last breath. Was I slept, so watch your step. Back in the 60s, our brothers and sisters were hanged. How could you gangbang? I never ever ran from the Ku Klux Klan, and I shouldn't have to run from a black man. Cause that's
self-destruction.
Funky fresh dress to impress, ready to party. Money in your pocket, dying to move your body. To get inside, you pay the whole $10. Scotch tape with a razor blade, tape to your collar. Leave the guns in the crack and the knobs alone. MC lights on the microphone. Bum rushing and pushing, snatching and taxing. I cram to understand why brothers don't be maxing. There's only one disco, they'll close one more. You ain't guarding the door, so what you got a gun for? Do you rob the rich and give to the poor? Yo, daddy-o, school them to the moon.
Straight from the mouth. And daddy-o,
do a crime,
end up in jail, and gotta go.
Cause you could do crime and get paid today,
and tomorrow you're behind bars in the worst way.
Far from your family,
cause you're locked away.
Now tell me,
do you really think crime pays?
Beaming on taking what your brother has?
You little sucker, you talking all that jazz.
It's time to stand together in a unity, cause if not, then you're with soon to be self-destroyed, unemployed. Rap race will be lost without a trace or a clue, but what to do is stop the violence and kick the science down the road that we call eternity, where knowledge is formed and you learn to be self-sufficient, independent. To teach the East is what rap intended, but society wants to invade, so do not walk this path that they laid it.
Self-destruction, get it for self-destruction.
My heart. I don't understand the difficulty, people. Love your brother, treat him as an equal. They call us animals, I don't agree with them. I'll prove them wrong, but right is what you're proving them. Take heed before I leave to what I'm saying, or we'll all be on our knees praying.
Heavy deep, deep in the heart of the matter. The self-destruction is served on a platter. Making a day, not failing to anticipate. They got greedy, so they fell for the bait. That makes them a victim, picked and plucked. New jack in jail, but to the vets, they're a duck. There's no one around, cause in jail, you're a number. They never took the time to wonder about
self-destruction.
To merge, we live for the love of our people, the hope they get along.
Yeah, so
get getting a point to our brothers and sisters who don't know the time.
Boy, so we gotta ride.
Set in your head, you know our job to build and collect ourselves with intellect.
Come on.
To revolve, to evolve the self-respect.
Cause we got to keep ourselves in check, or else it's
self-destruction.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Stacey Lunsford, and you are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And tonight's topic is teenagers and young adults that make emotional choices with guns. And make emotional choices are responsible for gun violence, not poor parenting. And the backdrop to this discussion is part two to self-destruction, which is the song that we just finished listening to. And I want to give props out to the Stop the Violence movement that took place in 1989. And it was started by hip-hop artist KRS-One in response to violence in the hip-hop and African-American communities. And it brought together musicians, artists, rappers, like a whole bunch of people, East Coast, West Coast, and around that time, you know, there was a lot of and differences, but for the cause, they settled their differences and they all came together. And the reason he wanted to do this at one of the concerts they had, it was during a concert with Boogie Down Productions and Public Enemy that a fan was killed. And so they wanted to present a positive message to everyone that violence was not the answer. And so tonight we want to bring awareness, one, to how we can overcome self-destruction, but we also want to bring to the table the condition, the state of emergency that our young people are in, including our teenagers, our young adults. And to be honest, the numbers are getting lower and lower as far as age goes with just the violent crimes that's happening all over. But specifically here in the city of Philadelphia, which is known as the city of brotherly love, the violence is just increasing. So we hope to bring awareness to this topic. And for those of you that will tune in, we invite you to dial 673-826-5204. And if you have a comment, a question, if you are a poet or a spoken word artist and you have topic-related poetry or creative expressions, we definitely invite you to join us. And again, just press 1. And for those that are listening via the internet, we welcome you to post your comments or your questions. So having said that, again, our topic for tonight is teenagers and young adults that make emotional choices are responsible for gun violence, not poor parenting. And at this time, I would like to open up the mics and our my co-host, my panelist, my sister, my friend, Marilyn Yardy. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Sister Stacy. I'm doing well. How are you? Good evening, everyone, on all the ladies on the line and everybody that's listening. I'm doing well. How about you, my dear?
Good. I am doing well right now. It's just you and I on the line. We're just going to keep flowing, and, you know, hopefully the other ladies will tune in. So how do you feel about this topic? What does it mean to you?
I'm unclear, so I just want to clarify what we're talking about. Are we saying that gun violence is the children are responsible for the gun violence, or their parents should not be held accountable for this gun violence?
But this, it's whatever way you take it. I'm going to read it again. Our topic is teenagers and young adults that make emotional choices are responsible for gun violence, not poor parenting. That's what the topic is. But you are entitled to voice your opinion how you feel, because there's different directions that we can go with this topic.
Yeah, I don't think it's an absolute either way. If the child makes an emotional decision and does something, you know, to take somebody's life with a gun or otherwise, that the parent is or is not responsible. It depends, first of all, on the training. If they have no discipline and they have no direction or guidance from the parent, then absolutely they are responsible, because they have not trained them up in the way that they should go. So I would put it on the parent's shoulders. But you do have children who are rebellious, whose parents have given them every tool possible, given them discipline, and they still choose to do something harmful to another individual. So in that case, of course, it is the child's emotional problem or issue at that moment where they decided to do something and to harm someone or take someone's life. So, you know, it's really not an absolute to me. It depends on the circumstance and the individual's child and parent and how they were raised. So some people don't have any guidance or discipline or directions. Some people don't believe in disciplining their children. They believe in letting them explore and do what they want. So, you know, at that point, you haven't given them any direction, so that's an issue. You haven't trained them up how to, you know, to relate to others and how to be respectful to others and how human life is valuable. It's important, you know, to instill something in your children first, you know, before we can say who's accountable and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
I agree with you. And the one thing that is standing out to me with this topic is the teenagers, the young adults. Now, everyone is not turned into gun violence. Everybody handles things differently. But I believe overall, conflict resolution is an area that needs to be highlighted so that they can learn how to handle conflict. Whatever problems they're having, violence is not the answer. When a parent is not available for the child, then the child is basically raising themselves, or they're going to be raised and conformed to, if they're out in the streets, it will be the streets that will raise them. And today we have a lot of young people that, I mean, some come from respectable homes, some come from not so respectable homes, and we have a lot of children where young adults and teenagers where the parents are just not available. Mom is not there, dad is not there, or if they are there, they're doing their own thing. But then we have some parents that are very disciplined. They're emotionally available to their children, but yet their children are making decisions and choices that are placing them in a very difficult situation. And in some of these situations, the parents are held responsible. And from my own personal experience, there have been a lot of parents that have received a lot of backlash because of the actions of their children, where it really wasn't their fault, you know? So how do we find balance in that? And how do we find balance in knowing that regardless of whatever negative behavior that was displayed, that underneath the surface, something is wrong. Something is going on. And if we don't take the time to figure out what is going on, why, the pattern of self-destruction continues.
Well, like you just said, some parents aren't available. So to even evaluate, you know, what kind of choices or conflict resolution these kids have. I mean, they have issues with them in their own houses. I don't know how many parents, you know, will go up to a school and say, oh, it's not my child. My child wasn't doing this or that. But at home, they don't listen to you either. You know what I mean? And then you go to school expecting this teacher or principal or whatever to hold them to some kind of standard or accountability, and they haven't even had the guidance at home to even begin to talk to them. A lot of these kids don't even respect their parents at all. You know what I mean? So for anybody else that's encountering them in the street, at school, at work, or whatever, we just live in a different age today. There is no real structure in a lot of homes. It's just people have to work. I get that. Everybody has to work, has to take care of things. And these people are leaving their kids to, you know, their own devices for YouTube to raise them in, you know, social media. So they don't have any guidance. It's really hard to take this and blanket it because every individual child has a different story or different upbringing or different things that are values that have been, you know, instilled in them. Or, you know, some children come from a Christian household. Some people come from secular households. Some people believe in discipline. Some people don't believe in discipline. Some people are mild-mannered. They have parents that are ready to do harm or do violence. So if they were raised in that environment, they may develop those same type of, issues. It's really difficult to say. You can't just blanket it and say all kids are, you know, responsible for their behavior or their emotional decisions because they may not have been cared for emotionally. Sometimes parents even forget to tend to that part of their child. Like their emotional well-being is not their responsibility. Somehow it's left out. You know what I mean? You give them all the basic needs, food, shelter, clothing, and you forget about those things that are scarring them internally or those things that they've been exposed to that can be affecting them emotionally.
That's true. That is true. And I thank you for bringing that out. And I also believe that a big chunk of this is accountability with the parents. And like this summer, with all of the violence happening in the city of Philadelphia, and I know we're all in different locations, but they have there's a curfew where the young people have to be home by 10 p.m. And some of these incidents that have happened around the city, it's been late at night. And it's like, why are these children out so late? And where are their parents? Yes, like where are their parents? Like back in our days, you had to be home before the streetlight came on.
The streetlight, that's right. But again, like I said, some parents are, one, raising these kids on their own. Some of them have to work at night, or they may work by day, and by nighttime they are exhausted and in bed, and some of these kids are sneaking out. And some of them are just out because they have a parent that's, you know, not aware or neglectful or into their own issues or business that they don't have time to, you know, monitor or take the time to monitor their kids. You know, some people throw their hands up on their children. You know what I mean? Where they have tried over and over again to direct them in a certain way, and they see that this child is just a rebellious child. Some children have that spirit in them where they're just, I don't care what you say or what you do. You can, you know, corporal punishment, you can take things away, you can do all those things, and they still are going to do what they want to do at the end of the day. But I do think the basic foundation, what you instill in your child from early on, and I mean early in those toddler stages, what you put in them then is going to yield some fruit later, and that's why the Bible says to train them up in the way they should go. It's about everything that they're going to do or need. So all those things they're going to need, you have to train them up and how to use them, how to make a right choice in a situation of conflict, how to know maybe it's not worth going to jail. Maybe you should walk away from this situation. Or don't follow your friends. Don't be a follower. You know what I mean? But be, you know, more discerning about who you choose to select as your friends. They get involved with other children from other households who don't have discipline or structure, and they find it appealing, and they want to be like them, and they start, you know, doing things to fit in with that certain group of kids. So many reasons, you know, I mean, how a kid can end up in a situation where they have committed some form or act of violence on someone to the point of taking their life. I mean, this recent incident that you just mentioned about these teenagers, that was really heartbreaking to me, that, you know, something like this could happen in 2022. In our city with our children. You know what I mean? It just breaks my heart that they would think that it was okay to even injure another human being in that way. Not, you know, take a race out of it, the age of the individual, any of that. It's another human life, period. Just like you got life and breath in your body, why do you think that's okay to, you know, to lash out on someone like that and hurt them in such a way that you injure them even unto death? I can't, you know, wrap my mind around it. I can't even, you know, I don't have those kind of thoughts and never have. So I can't really speak to what is going on in somebody's mind that will, you know, say, hey, I'm going to knock this man out or whatever, or I'm going to punch this person in their face, or I'm going to, you know, stab this individual, or I'm going to shoot someone. I don't understand the rage that comes from that, because that's what that is. That's some kind of internal rage or something that you feel like you need to act out in that violent way like that.
Well, you said a lot, and that was very good. And at the end of the day, we are dealing with rage, we're dealing with anger, we're dealing with resentment and bitterness, and whatever it is that happened to these young people, they internalize it. And if they do not have a safe place to turn to, a safe place to go to talk, they act out. Some internalize it, and they don't say anything, and then it boils and boils, and then, boop, something happened, and they blow off. Others are very you know, outspoken, they will tell you how they feel. They might also curse you out. And they are expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. So we have to find positive ways to handle the various issues. And then on the outside looking in, we're limited to what we can do, because ultimately the parents must lay that foundation. And then again, sometimes that foundation is there, but earlier you mentioned defiance, you know, like if that child is defiant, and I think it's healthy to say, Marilyn, that a lot of teenagers, just part of their process, they love to be defiant. I mean, we were teenagers, you know, sometimes, but I mean, it was different because we couldn't talk back to our parents. We couldn't, like, don't even think about sucking your teeth or rolling your eyes. You know, it's a different generation. But the respect.
And even if you thought that, even if you thought you was going to say something or had a thought in your head that you was going to, your mom or your grandmother or your father or whoever is already on it, like, don't even think about it. You know, they've already cut that eye at you. I mean, it just took a look when I was coming up. A parent could look at their child and they would know, this is not the time for that kind of behavior. Like, you're going to get yourself all the way together. First of all, my mom gave us the pep talk before we went anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Before you went out in the street to the market, whatever, no, you're not getting nothing. Don't ask me. Don't touch nothing. You know what I mean? Be polite. Don't throw your trash. We were given guidelines before we even left the door, the house, to know what was expected of us when we went out, period. It was, you know what I mean? And I think it's too much. People were just winging it. You know what I mean? Because we were so traumatized, I guess, some of us, from our upbringing, from the corporal punishment and different things like that, that we try to move so far away from it that we've gotten to the place where we are not saying anything. You know what I mean? We're not giving any guidelines at all. It's just like, let's let them explore, let them float back and forth and, you know, wave to and fro and see, you know, let them make their own decisions. But there is a responsibility if you bring a human life in this earth to give them some instruction. You got to give them something. They don't know anything except for what you put in them. They're like little computers. What you input is what you're going to get out. If you don't put nothing in, you're not going to get nothing out.
And that's
okay.
True.
I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's what you said was powerful, what you put in. So a lot of, I believe that there is a category of parents from 30 years and younger, they're simply not inputting morals, integrity. There's no biblical foundation there. I mean, it don't have to be a biblical foundation because different people have different backgrounds and believe different faiths, and that's fine. But whatever your faith is, there is a level of integrity involved with it. There are morals, and there's a right and a wrong way to do things. And most parents teach their children right from wrong. And today, with the way the children are today, I mean, it's totally different today than it was 20 years ago for a child to be, you know, in a positive environment at home, in the community. Today, most of our communities, our community recreation centers, they have been taken away. The libraries are open, but they're limited. It's like the resources are not there like they used to be. So where do the children go? You know, even half of the swimming pools are not even open. And, you know, where I live at, the swimming pool was deserted. Nice swimming pool. Nice playground. And I said, I need to go home and get my bathing suit because I could swim.
because there was no one in.
Because it was no one in the pool, and it was a hot day. Well, I mean, it wasn't too hot, but it was a really nice day. But there was
all this violence on the streets today. I mean, all this violence right now that's happening in the city. I think some people are just not too crazy about sending their kids out here to these public pools. I mean, you look, I think it was last year or the year before, somewhere in Darby or Sharon Hill, people were at a basketball game, you know what I mean? And somebody let off a lot of shots and a little girl got, you know, killed in the playground. It's not safe. So some people are not sending their children out because these streets are just not safe. There is too much hatred in people's hearts. At the end of the day, what it boils down to is either, you know, self-hate and hate of others, period. You don't have no regard for your own life, so you have no regard for human life, yours, theirs, or anyone else's. So it's okay for you to walk up to somebody and blow their head out or blow their brains out or, you know, knock them upside the head or whatever. They just don't have any regard for life at all, period.
Well, you know, that really takes us to the spirit of fear, based on what you, what you just said, because the playgrounds, I mean, nice playground, staff is there, they're sitting around chatting and laughing, they have absolutely nothing to do. There's no parents, there's no children, so their job is sweet for this summer. Not once when I walked past Maryland did I think about the reasons that it was deserted. And that is profound to me. And the spirit of fear is causing people to stay home. People are no longer enjoying their front porch, the steps, and they certainly don't want to go out in the community. When I was driving Lyft and Uber, the senior citizens that I would pick up, they said that they made all of their appointments before 12 o'clock because it was their goal to be home inside their house before 12:30 because they were afraid to be outside past 12 and that they could not enjoy sitting on their own porch. And that's sad. That's sad, and that's a key prayer point for something, you know, that we need to pray for. And with the increase in violence, a lot of people are afraid. I mean, it's a bunch of teenagers that just assaulted and beat up. I think the man was 40 years old, and he's in a hospital. He may be out now, but he survived. But they jumped on him and they beat him up so bad. And that thing just hurt my heart. Like, why? And just think for a moment. If that was your grandfather or if it was your great-grandfather, how would you feel? And I'm, you know, talking to the young people. How would you feel if that was your grandmother, your grandfather, or your great-grandfather that was assaulted by one of your peers? It's not a good feeling. And I just can't. Go ahead.
No, I said no, it's not. It's unfortunately, some of these kids don't even care about their grandparents. You know what I'm saying? I have seen them speaking to their parent and or grandparent in the most disrespectful, non-God-honoring way that I've ever heard in my life. Some of the things that I've heard children say or speak to their parents or grandparents, it actually shook my whole foundation. I could stand there in awe that you would even think that you could speak to your parents that way. I mean, I'm 51 years old, and some of the things that I've heard children say or behaviors that I've seen these children use toward their parent and or grandparent, it just, I can't fathom how you think that that's okay. Like, where does this come from? There is a spirit of pride in some of these children. And there's no regard for authority at all. There is no sense of it at all, that there is some accountability somewhere to a parent. Or, you know, when they get a job somewhere, they often are getting fired or, you know, cussing the boss out and walking out because they don't have the ears to even listen to somebody that's older or wiser or anything. They can't or they won't, or they haven't been taught to. And I think really and truly a lot of it has to start there. If we don't correct our children, if we don't instill something, some kind of value in them, they will just, you know, go whichever way the wind blows. They have nothing to, there's no foundation, there's no anchor, there's nothing to center them and say, okay, this is my center, and this is where I should be, this is how I should behave in these situations. Even if it is a senior citizen or older person that you don't seem to like, or you don't feel like you want, you like what they're saying, they will cuss them out. They won't go tell their mom, hey, this teacher is, you know, not treating me well, or I was at the store and, you know, the lady looked at me funny. In fact, they will either punch you in your face or, you know, tell you off. So I don't know what kind of kids these are. I really don't. I'm telling you, I've been for years trying to figure it out. There is no way my mom would ever allow me to speak, act, or do any of the things that I see a lot of these children doing and today. And a lot of it is hyped up from media, you know, social media. They got too much access to stuff. They are oversaturated with information. It's too much things out there for them to get a hold of and see and view. And I want to see if I can do it better. You know what I mean? Or I'm, you know, the next time I'm going to punch, knock three people out because that person only knocked two people out. They in a competition, you know, even with one another to do even more wretched things than the last person did. I just can't understand it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of contributing factors, and I want to go back to the fear for a moment. And in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 1, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind."
Mm-hmm.
And love covers a multitude of sins. Love is the antidote. Like every show we have, anytime we come together, I'm always going to come back to love, because love bears all things. Love believe all things. Love hope all things. Love endure all things. Love never fails. Even with the most angriest, bitter young adult, teenager, even adult, I'm sorry, love is the antidote. So we have identified several problems. We have identified the need for emotional stability and support from parents. We have identified the need for learning conflict resolution. We have identified the spirit of fear. And dig this.
Yes.
How do we teach them how to overcome something that they don't understand? Because many of them are operating out of a spirit of fear that did not come from God. It came from Satan. So why in the world would we expect them to display Christian character, moral, or principles when they are listening to the devil? He has control of their minds. So this is, again, you know, I wish all of the ladies was here tonight, because every person, whatever they brought to the table, I wanted us to come together strategically in prayer and prophetically pray out the solution. Not that, you know, we can identify problems and we're doing good with that, but Marilyn, like, It's not just about talking. It's about us, you know, praying, because we're limited to what we can do. I mean, I hear the passion in your voice. You hear the passion in my voice. But what can we really do besides bring awareness to topics like this and where, you know, there's basically nobody here? What do we do?
Right.
God hear us. So let's exchange love. And I pray that somebody is listening, that you do have a teenager or young adult, that you can call them and say, hey, I want you to come listen to this radio broadcast. And if you are listening and you want to join the conversation, please press 1 on your phone and we will grace you on the mic. And if you are listening via the internet, please place your comments on the comment page and we will gladly read your comments, your suggestions, your prayer requests. But for this brief moment, we're going to stop for a moment and we're going to pray about the spirit of fear. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just read your word, and your word says that you have not given us. It says, for God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So, Father, we come right now in the mighty name of Jesus to give you back your word. We place a demand on your word, God. Father, we reject the spirit of fear. And we break the spirit of fear off of these young adults, off of these teenagers, oh, God, off of the parents. And we loose the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Now, Father, I'm just not saying anything, but I'm standing on your word in Matthew 18 and 18 that says, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we bind, we render the spirit of fear powerless. We know all of the cohorts that's associated with it, and we know all of the subtle ways that the enemy has crept into the minds of your people, but we also break, cut, and destroy every mind-binding spirit that has seduced, that has intimidated, that has manipulated, and taken control of the minds of these young people. Now, Father, we ask that you go underneath the surface in the name of Jesus. And as you go underneath the surface, we ask that you help the young people and the teenagers and the parents to identify the root issues and to stop putting their mouth on the top of the surface issues, the things that they say, the things that they hear, the things that they see. See, we can see things with our physical eyes. We can see things, we can hear things with our physical ears, and without proper understanding of why they speak the way they do, without proper understanding of why they display negative behavior that is not true to their nature, God, we can add to the situation by speaking word curses. And so we repent in the name of Jesus for every time that we saw, that we witnessed, that we heard disobedient behavior, defiant behavior, fearful behavior, resentful behavior, anger behavior. God, many of these children, many of these young adults, many of these teenagers, they have experienced so many traumas.
Yes.
Some of them have been sexually molested. Some of them have been physically abused, mentally abused, emotionally abused. Father, we are calling on you right now in the name of Jesus. Because some of these teenagers are making emotional decisions and emotional choices based out of fear. And fear is working closely with the spirit of robbery. And your word tells us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So, Father, I recognize the operations of the spirit of robbery in each unique situation. So we bind the spirit of robbery and its cohort, the spirit, the lion spirit, because the lion spirit is whispering sweet nothings into their ears. And because of the void, because of the hole in their heart, because of the hole in their soul, they are responding to the lies. They are responding to the falsehood and the deception. And this is an open door that the spirit of robbery has been using to steal their real voice, to steal their power and to steal their authority and to wrap every mind-binding spirit around their minds to confuse them and to transform them into the image of whatever it is, whatever capacity that the enemy is trying to use them to wreak havoc, to cause harm in the family, to cause harm in the community. And Father, I'm taking my time to say this prayer because there are many, many categories that we need help. And as we break down the powers and the principalities that are in operation, Father, we must identify and destroy the spirit of Haman that is operating in every city, in every state, in every nation, in every country. There is not a city, nation that is exempt, because the spirit of Haman is a spirit of anger, and it is associated with the spirit of murder, spiritual abortion, premature death, assassination of character. And so, God, these are some of the things that our young adults are dealing with, and they don't understand. All they understand is that they have an outlet. They have a safe place to go, because at home, we don't know what's really going on at home. But out in the street, they're finding comfort. Now, many of the young people are dealing with peer pressure, gangs, initiation. They have conflicts at home, conflicts in the street, conflict in the neighborhood. Sometimes they don't even want to leave to go to the store. They got mom and dad issues. Then we got the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, the anger, suicidal tendencies. And right here, God, we want to pause and identify the spirit of suicide, which is associated with the spirit of death. Now, there is a death wish that has been released against our young people. And by the power and authority that you have given to us, we bind the spirit of death, the spirit of murder, and the spirit of Haman. Now, God, I also want to identify that the spirit of Haman works closely with the spirit of genocide. And the spirit of genocide is to destroy, assignment is to destroy a whole entire race. And this is not a black thing. This is not a white thing. This is not a Latino thing. This is a straight up attack against our young people, and especially young people that are believers, that have accepted Jesus Christ into their lives as Lord and personal Savior. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for loosing resurrection life, resurrection power, And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that as you destroy, as you break in pieces the oppressor, according to your word in Psalm 72 and verse 4, God, break in pieces the oppressor in every situation, every circumstance, every home, every neighborhood, every community, God. This is our humble prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for those young adults and those teenagers that are wearing a mask to camouflage what they feel, to camouflage their hurt, to camouflage their pain, to camouflage who they really are. Many are saying that they are homosexual, that they are attracted to men, they are attracted to women, they are attracted to the same sex. Many of them have turned to drugs, to alcohol, and many of them are entertaining a spirit of gluttony, and they are overeating or they are undereating, and there is an underlying issue, and we need your help to identify what is going on underneath the surface, God. Because as long as we keep looking at what they're doing and not go deeper in prayer, God, the same cycle is going to continue. So we just commit all of this conversation, the prayers of the righteous avail much. We cover these young people tonight. We cover the teenagers. We cover the young adults. We cover the parents with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Now, God, there are some parents that are doing the best that they can, but there are some parents that are discouraged. They are, Father God, depressed. They have been humiliated. They have been filled with shame and embarrassment. And the community has not made it easy for them, God. And many of them are crying out to you. Many of them are depressed. They are also dealing with a spirit of suicide, God. And where do they find the energy to release positive energy to their children under such circumstances? Where do they find the strength to assist their son or their daughter that has been prosecuted and is now behind bars or about to be sentenced, and they have to support them through that process? God, there are many things that we simply do not know, but we know that you are the God of comfort. You are the God of peace. And Father, we loose your peace right now in the name of Jesus supernaturally, God. We loose your peace supernaturally. We loose your strength, God. Strengthen the parents, strengthen their children. And Father, we thank you for taking complete control of every household.
Thank you, Lord.
Because we release the power of the blood of Jesus to freely flow from the rooftop to the cellar floor, from the front door back door. Regardless of what they are doing, Father, we thank you that their homes are under new management. You said that we have not because we ask not. And Father, Marilyn and I, our faith is great enough tonight. We are not here for show or for fashion, but we came, God, to pray, to intercede, and to bring awareness to a topic that is dear to your heart, because young people are killing people. Young people are killing each other. Young people are fighting against one another. Young people are dealing with so much stuff, and we need your help. We need your guidance. Father, we thank you for raising the level of accountability and responsibility with understanding emotional behaviors, choices, anger management, gun control, and premature death and spiritual abortions.
Have mercy, Jesus.
Yes, have mercy, Father. We bind the spirit of self-destruction. This broadcast opened up with the song, "You're Heading for Self-Destruction." And God, Marilyn mentioned this, the defiant spirit. The defiant spirit is leading people down the wrong paths. And it's leading them down the path of self-destruction. Everything that she said, she was so in the spirit because she identified the spirit of haughtiness. And, Father, we bind the spirit of haughtiness because it's nothing more than the spirit of pride. But I don't want to say it lightly, because it is a power. It is a principality. And with all of the things that are going on, the parents, they have to learn how to effectively pray for their children. And with all of the prayers that we're praying, we must first identify, God, what the spirit of bondage has done and is doing. And the mind-binding spirits have taken complete control of their mind. But we bind the spirit of haughtiness, every self-righteous spirit, every scornful spirit, every Jezebelic spirit, every arrogant spirit, feelings of defeat, every dictator spirit, every spirit of corruption and contention, wrath, and every egotistical spirit, God, and especially those that have been bragging and boasting about the negative behavior that they have displayed towards other people. Now, God, they are really mocking the people that they cause harm to, and they're bragging about it. And for those that have been initiated into gangs due to peer pressure and wanting to fit in, the teardrops on their eyes, Orabashanda, my God, they are keeping track of the number of people that they have killed.
Lord
and
Jesus.
They're proud to brag about it. But I believe in my heart that somewhere during their times alone that the spirit of sorrow trickles in and that they feel bad about what they did because they really are displaying behavior that's not true to their nature. So help them to find their own identity, God.
Help them, Father.
But we thank you for letting Marilyn identify the spirit of haughtiness, and we break the spirit of pride off of the young people, off of the parents, because pride goes before destruction.
Yes,
so, Father, all of these
yes,
blessings we ask in Jesus' name, and we thank you
yes,
that
Lord.
As we sound the
thank
alarm
the
tonight through prayer.
Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes,
we thank you, God. We thank you for collecting all of the tears that the parents have prayed. And, Lord, we haven't even touched base on the grandparents. But we pray for the grandparents that have been standing
yes,
in the gap
Lord.
For their children, for their grandchildren. And, God, they're tired, they're weary, they're discouraged, and many of them are being
yes.
disrespected on so many levels. But we pray that you will protect them from tonight on. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We
thank
do
you,
have
Father.
A caller on the line, and your last four numbers is 2600. Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. How are you?
Hey, ladies. How y'all doing?
Good, good.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Lisa.
Listening to every... to it all, and it's just, it's a heavy topic. You don't really know where to dive in at, but you can start with parenting is not the same. It's not the same that it was for us 20 years ago. Parents today are too busy trying to, instead of understanding how to be parents, they want to be friends and associates with their children. That's where the parenting has gone wrong. You can't correct another child because of the misconception of parenting from the parent. So if the parent is going to come up to the school and cuss you out, then there is no type of guidance and accountability for the child because they know that their parent is reckless. So if their parent is reckless, it passes down to the child. The child becomes reckless because that is a repeated behavioral pattern that is visual for them to see every day.
Yep.
If they can see their mama cussing people out and yoking people up and making TikTok videos about it, then child is going to do the same thing.
Yes, sir.
But if they
yes,
see
sir.
Their parent being an adult and collectively communicating, then that makes that breaks that barrier. That breaks that cycle.
Yeah.
Because now the child does not see that type of behavior, So nine times out of ten, they're not going to act on something that they don't see. They have to pick it up someplace else. But nine times out of ten, when you get that type of parent, you can't act like that in this house. You can't do that in this house.
Right.
Because you're going to get checked. They don't want to check their children because they're too busy trying to be children. Adults and parents are trying to be children because they run. They want to run the streets. They want to be cool. You got to be a parent. It don't matter at what age. It doesn't matter about the age that you became a parent, but you understood the responsibility. A lot of parents today are neglecting their responsibility. They wasn't ready to do it. And since I wasn't ready to do it, they don't know how to do it. I don't know how to correct you. I don't know how to tell you no. I don't know how to discipline you because I have not functioned in that element myself. Since I have not functioned in that element myself, I don't know how to teach you that. You only know how to teach what you know. And a lot of times, it's what they don't know. They need etiquette. They need to know how to talk to people. You can't just be like, what you saying, who you talking to, who going to hire you? Nobody. Nobody's going to hire you. Nobody's going to hire you with you talking like that. Nobody's going to hire you with your chest hanging all out. Nobody's going to hire you with your booty hanging all out. Nobody's going to hire you, sir, with your pants all the way down to your butt.
Come on.
Nobody's going to hire you with that. Not representing their company.
Yeah.
Now, if you want Joe Blow to hire you, then have at it. He will. But when you're talking about doing something and actually meaning something, doing something and actually having meaning behind it, you're talking about them getting established. How are you going to establish something? And now companies can have access to your Instagram and your Facebook. They can see what you're doing. You can't hide that.
Yeah.
So you can't hide. You can't hide your life. What you doing? They got access to that. So anything before they even hire you, they're like, what's your Instagram? Oh, if it's tea money, and you can forget it. You can forget it.
Yeah.
They like tea money. What does that mean? Are you able to? Are you even able to talk to people on the phone?
Yeah. Right.
No. You're on a recorded line. I'm sorry. What? You're on a recorded line.
And you talk about, my cousin them. What you say? Huh? What? Can I have your card number? What? Yeah.
Absolutely not.
But you're going to
put down the ghetto sideness and pick up common sense sometimes. It's just about common sense sometimes. You can't show up at your job that they just hired you with your eyes 50 shades of red. Sir, you can't do that. You can't show up at the job smelling like a brewery, ma'am. Sorry, you can't do that. You can't do that. It'd be like, it don't matter. I ain't need this job anyway. But you did it. You do.
Right.
You do need it. You do need it. Because you need the history and understanding what that means. You can't just be jumping from job to job to job to job because ain't nobody going to hire you. They're going to be like, how long was you at your last job? 2 days. I'm sorry. So what do you think, what type of asset do you think that you can bring to the company? They can't even answer that question.
Right.
They can't even sit down and have a conversation with you without a phone in their face.
That has to change.
It does.
Even though they are technical, they come from the world of technology, but that has got to change. Can you sit down in a room with business people and be business minded? Can you have a conversation with them? Because you come in the room like, yeah, no, yeah. Oh, you talking about 50 G's, 100 G's? They don't show you to the door. I'm sorry. Maybe you showed up at the wrong conference. I'm sorry. You can't even come into this room because you don't even know.
Yep.
You're not even dressed to get through the door, sir. Come on.
But you know,
my cousin told me to come to this event.
But you're not dressed properly.
Now, the sad part about this is you started out saying it's a learned behavior. And when we talk about learned behaviors, some behaviors are taught by our parents, and like some behaviors are taught by our peers, people out on the street. Yeah. And anything we learn can be unlearned. Like with domestic violence, you often hear people say it's a learned behavior. Those children will copycat what they see their parents doing. But domestic violence can be unlearned. And all of these things you were saying, and I'm listening to you, I'm listening to Marilyn, and, you know, the giggling, and it is true, and it's desperately sad. But the reality is some of these children that are displaying that behavior, they were taught properly. But they make emotional decisions and choices to display that kind of behavior. Now, I have picked children up from home where they were dressed the way their parents wanted them to be dressed, and they got in my car, Uber, Lyft, and they changed, and they stopped talking proper, and everything shifted. And so this false identity that they embrace so that they can fit in, it's real. But I totally agree with everything that you just said, because these jobs are hiring, sadly, some of the people are hiring these young people that don't know how to talk. They lack etiquette, and it tears down the business. It affects everything within that business. And so when do we start to talk about change? Everything you said, including to the pants, like, you know, hanging down their butts, that could be unlearned. And if they really understood what that meant, that came from the prisons. That doesn't mean that you're cool. That means you belong to somebody else. Like, do you even understand what you're doing? So learn behaviors. What are our fathers teaching our young men? What are our fathers teaching our young daughters? What are our mothers teaching our sons? What are our mothers teaching our daughters? And, Leisha, I think it's very, very key that you said they're trying to be friends. And I totally agree with you, because whatever reason they didn't have the life or childhood they thought they wanted because they were being parents, I'm sorry, you can't live your life through your children. And you can't be your – you got more grandmothers out here, you know, dressing like they 16 and 17. You know, more cougars out here dating all of these younger guys that they have no business being. I mean, it's just so many areas where we can go with this. But I truly believe that change can happen if we took the time to provide more platforms and bring awareness to parenting programs, youth at-risk programs, because they are out here. In whatever city you're in that you're listening, even the ladies that's on the platform, if you know of any resources, please share that information with me so that I can, you know, post it on the radio page and post it on my page, because there are programs out there that can help the parents, that can help the young people. But they have to want it. It's just like that drug addict or that alcoholic. And I believe that all of the categories that we have talked about tonight, that is all smoke screens that need to be exposed so that the truth can prevail. And whoever wants to go next. We do have someone on the line. Last number is 2072. Would you like to join the conversation?
Hey, sis. This is Christian.
Hey.
I just made it
the
way to the west.
Okay.
How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Doing great.
So did you hear what Alicia was saying? Well, not Alicia. I'm sorry. Alicia was saying about the learned. And she gave some wonderful examples.
Like at the very, very, very last end of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I chimed in at the very, very last end. I do apologize for my tardiness.
Oh, it's okay. You know, we're glad that you made it. Our topic tonight is young adults and the emotional decisions that they make to use guns and, you know, their parents. I mean, even though that was the topic, we have delved into many, many topics. And Leisha just came in before you did. So it was just Marilyn and I. And then we prayed. We identified the spirit of fear as being one of the culprits with this. And so we had prayer. Then Leisha came and she was saying that, you know, talking about the learned behaviors. So what I want to do, I want to share a poem that I wrote, and then we're going to go back into the discussion. But I'm going to share the poem, and then everybody could kind of comment. It says, who's watching your children, you or the TV guide? Is TV a huge distraction? Yes. What our children watch needs to be monitored, because I strongly believe that our children need to be monitored much more closely than they have been. And parents need to take more interest in their children, period. The television, the computer, the PlayStation, the GameCube, the Xbox, it's all a distraction. Each time we, parents, go to the store and buy another game, which just happens to be a shoot 'em up bang bang game, we are helping the enemy to pull our children deeper into the web of destruction that is deceiving our children, destroying their internal image, which is causing their outer image to slowly fade away. Countenance was bright, now it's dull. Disposition was pleasant, now it's unpleasant. Speech was respectful, now it's disrespectful. Bitter attitudes, negative speech, feeding a demon that gets bigger and bigger every time our children play their violent games or watch a foul movie or video on television via cable, VHS, or DVD. It's in their heart, it's in their mind, their will, their intellect, their emotions, and it's all in their spirit. The spirit of murder, the killings, the shootings, the guns, the bombs, the weapons, the destruction, death, drugs, hatred, rage, bitterness, resentment, sex, pornography. Yes, it's all in these games, and it's all on TV. Don't read these words and shake your head and say, she's right. Yes, she's right. I know I'm right. But what I want to know is, what are you going to do about it? You see, we can pray all night long, but if we pray without changing and rearranging some things, what are we accomplishing? It's decision time. And all I want to know is, what are you willing, to take a stand? Are you ready, willing, and able to go into the enemy's territory and take your children back? Are you ready, willing, and able to remove these items from your home? I'm talking a clean sweep. All of the things that are making you weep, keeping you up at night, fretting over things that you say. Things that you say you don't have control over. But let me tell you something, mom and dad, that's a lie straight from the pit of darkness, and you better wake up and arise from where you are. Shake off your slumber, because the devil is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He says, standing on the corner looking at your daughter and her belly button with the earring hanging out of it. No, don't hold your head down. Arise from where you are and take a stand. Don't you know that Satan, he has a plan? Your daughter is only 11, but she looks 17. If you continue to hold your peace, somebody is going to end up having a peace, and I'm not talking about no cake either. Are you ready, willing, and able to take a stand? He says, standing on the corner, looking at your son, with his pants hanging down. Bobos, they cost $1.99, and they're showing all of his stuff. Weed in one pocket, crack in the other, packing a gun, looking for the brother that came up short. Money was low, so he's going to send him home cold. He's going to send him home cold to his mother. An early grave, it's already done. First, fresh dirt and fresh wounds, standing room only. Emergency rooms and the morgues are full of our beautiful black boys. And I want to know, what are you going to do about it? It's decision time. Are you willing to take a stand? Are you ready, willing, and able to go into the enemy's territory and take your children back? Are you willing to take a stand, mom and dad? Are you ready to come home at night and sleep in your own bed? Are you tired of sleeping with the enemy? Open up dark and gloomy doors, granting Satan and his demons legal access into your home. Invading your territory, invading your mind, operating in self-destruction. You think that everything is fine, but it's not. Wake up from your slumber. It's getting late. Humble yourself and repent. Start showing love and not hate. Your children need you to be strong so that they can arise from the ashes of the miry clay. Will you help them to place their feet today up on the rock to stay? Because dig this. Too many children are raising themselves. Too many children are doing homework alone. Too many children are not going to school. Too many children are playing basketball, soccer, baseball alone. Too many children are dancing, acting, and singing alone. Too many children can't read, especially African-American children. Too many children are having sex, drinking, and using drugs. Too many children don't have parental guidance or supervision. Too many children are at risk because mom and dad got issues. Will I pray for our children? Yes. I will continue to pray, and I will continue to intercede for the parents as well. But when will we wake up, arise from our ashes, step out of our mourning clothes and into the garments of praise, and realize that we have a purpose for being on this earth? When will we realize that our children have a purpose of being on this earth? You see, it wasn't a coincidence in your child. He or she wasn't a mistake. God had a purpose and God had a plan. And he still does. And all I want to know is, what are you going to do about it? I believe the children are the future and that we set the example for them to follow, because it's not too late to change. It's not too late to change. So who's watching your children, you or the TV guy? And that's that piece. And it basically covers, you guys just came on, but Marilyn and I, like, this poem sums up everything that have been discussed so far. And I open up the mic for anyone to just, you know, chime in.
Well, what you said is true. Mm-hmm. The television, social media nowadays, little infants are given a phone at a couple months old to use and stare at and whatever to be their babysitter. So that is who's raising your children. If you're not actually actively giving instruction and giving a direction to your kids and you just letting them go off of what they've learned from YouTube, you study to get anything out of your children. So it's true, everything that you just said in that poem about the TV guy being their babysitter or the television being their babysitter is exactly what we still have going on today. Some of us were latchkey kids coming up, but still, I knew when I got home from school that I had certain things to do. I had chores to do. I had homework to do, and it better have been done when my mother got home. There's no accountability of these children today to the parents. Like Leisha said earlier, they want to be their friends. There is the next generation has moved so far away from discipline that it's scary. You know what I mean? It really is scary. Discipline is a good thing according to the Bible. We ought to do it. We ought to have it. He corrects us, and we ought to correct our children. We ought to teach them that correction is necessary. You know what I mean? That there's going to be times where you're going to need to be reproved or corrected. And if you are not doing that or putting that in your children, you're doing them a disservice, because everywhere they go, there's going to be an issue. Because they don't understand. I'll give you a good example. I have a little great niece that's about 4 years old. The other day she came in the house. She said, "Uncle Kyle said a bad word." I said, "Oh, my God, what did he say?" He came out of the room and said, "Just because she's never heard it, it's not a bad word." The word was no. But she took it as a bad word because she's not used to being told no. So we have to, as parents, we have a responsibility of these little human beings that we are raising to give them a healthy balance of yes and no and right and wrong and correction and praise and rewards and things like that. We can't continue to reward bad behavior. And so many parents that I know that will say, "Oh, so-and-so did this week, and she's on punishment or he's on punishment." But then you'll talk to them later on. It's like, "Oh, girl, I let them go ahead because I'm," you know, they just, there's no consistency. There's no, you know, there has to be consistent. You have to be consistent. If you tell your kids this is the consequence for this behavior and you don't follow it up with that consequence, they're going to take you for a joke. Because every time you say it, you move the finishing line. If I say this is the line right here, and then I move it a little further because I'm giving you grace, or and ain't nothing wrong with grace. Don't get me wrong, because we should give them some grace, but you still gotta, you know, stick to what you say. If I say you can't do this and you do it, and I tell you this is a punishment, I have to give you that punishment. Otherwise, you're gonna take me for granted because I don't mean what I say. And most of the time, I see it all the time with parents. They keep moving that boundary. So it's no boundary at all.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. Anybody else want to comment?
There's a few things that crossed my mind when we start talking about the accountability of parenting. Everything that's out right now, it is a catch-22. It could be for your kid or against your kid, whether we're talking about gaming consoles, whether we're talking about the internet, whether we're talking about phones. There has to be some accountability to the parent, and we have to preface how we use them. First of all, to the difficulty of being a parent, we have to talk about the fact that there are things that were once in place for parents when we were coming up that are not in place for parents right now. And in my humble opinion, one of the things I think gets in the way of parents is the psychological structure of parenting as we know it right now. You know, some parents want to live vicariously through their children, and that's dangerous. You have some parents that want to be friends with their children, and that's dangerous. And then you have some parents listening to their therapist, and they think they're doing the right thing because right now there is a movement in professional spaces in society that says children should be more independent. The parenting model should change. And we have to be honest. Court systems, CPS, foster care systems have agreed. Courts have gotten into homes, even good homes.
does that give the parent a pass? No. But if we're not going to discuss that also in the confinement of the situation, then we're not looking at all the roadblocks or challenges that parents face, even when their kids go to school and their children are questioned about discipline and their children are questioned about chastisement. And if your child answers in what they believe is incorrect, now you have people sitting in your house and having a discussion that's absolutely unnecessary. And it is very polarizing, especially for Black parenting. A side thought to that as well, when you are trying to set foundation, we once had community. We're looking at parents, and yes, they are the sole, you know, first and foremost line of defense. But a lot of our parents didn't raise us alone. I know I grew up in a community. You know, there were grandparents, but there were aunts and uncles. It was a team. My parents could not take responsibility for the outcome of their children alone. It just, you can't get the job done alone. And I think there are too many parents that don't want to be told no. There are too many parents that don't want to be told that they're wrong, that they need to make mid-course corrections, adjustments, and changes. And that trickles on down to their parenting style and to their kids. There are parents that are dealing with pride issues, can't even apologize. Can't, you know, their mouth is foul. They're aggressively negative. And again, that trickles on down to the children. So there has to be a resurgence of community, a resurgence of a village mentality, so that not only do the children have respect for the parents, but they also learn to have the respect for the community. So they know, you know, they can be hemmed up by anybody in that community. Case in point, I have two boys. My two boys have multiple godparents. If Stacy snatches my son right now, she knows she can have Adam. I would not have them around adults that I do not trust to discipline, that I do not trust to correct them, because I know it's going to be done in love, and each person offers something to the child that I don't have or cannot give, if that makes sense. And I think that's necessary because it translates into love, but it also translates into experience. You know, there are some people in the village that can give the children the hands-on experience of what happens if you decide to play this street game, or someone else may be able to give them the hands-on of what happens where accountability needs to be in the classroom. We aren't all multifaceted, so bringing those different pieces in, it gives that child a rounded parental village, a protection village, and it also allows them to learn accountability in multiple different spaces. And I think that's greatly missing, sorely missing right now. I think a lot of parents, if you're going to deal with technology, and we have to, there's no getting around that, ladies and gentlemen, we have to. Our school systems are forcing us to. So, no, my three-year-old doesn't have a cell phone. My three-year-old can't touch a cell phone of no sort. But my eight-year-old does have one, and I never thought I'd have to put a cell phone in the hands of my eight-year-old and was adamantly against it when he was born. But schools get shot up, and I need my child to be able to reach me. At the same time, we did the research to know how to lock down devices. He doesn't have access to social media. He doesn't have access to YouTube, things of that nature. Parents have to get involved in setting restrictions. It's not that gaming is bad. It's what game you chose and how often you let them play. I want my son to be a kid. I want kids to be kids. I mean, shucks, he plays the Xbox right along with his dad, but it's only for the weekend. And if his grades look well during the week, you know, TV is not necessarily a bad thing, especially if you're going to watch it with them. But know what your child is watching and have a time and a place for everything. Have shows that you have a conversation with your kids about. Because here's the thing. You can lock down your entire house. They will get access. They'll need you for that. They need you for the conversation. Just as I'm telling my husband that he needs to take his eight-year-old somewhere and start having male, you know, menfolk meeting conversations, because the children in the neighborhood are 13 and 14 years old, and I see them out there playing football with my eight-year-old, and I don't want their lack of knowledge to reach my son first. So his daddy needs to reach him first. Those conversations, you know, moms need to reach their daughter first. Taking an account of what's going on around us and putting it in its proper perspective is very important. when it comes to parenting. And mom and dad, let other people help you. Mom and dad, let other people sow wisdom into you so that you can reflect that into your child. Like, this is a huge topic, as always, with multifaceted issues. But we have to look at how to build community because it directly affects the purview of parenting. So there are certain things I can do if I'm in a lockdown community. There's certain things I have to be cautious about if I'm not. So that's just, you know, something to take into consideration when we're weighing what parents can do to be more accountable to themselves first, accountable to God, accountable to themselves, and then they can be accountable to their children.
Awesome, awesome. I want to highlight one thing, and then we're going to give the mic to Leisha so she could chime in. When you talk about the legal rights that they're giving our children, in the state of Pennsylvania, a child, when it comes to mental health, a child of 14 years old is considered an adult. They have the right to remove their parents from their care. They can receive medication, and nothing is released to the parents. This is legal at 14 years old. They're still babies. They don't know what's best for them. They don't know what's good for them. And so they're taught how to manipulate the system to press charges against their parents or to take legal actions against them because they talk so much about their rights. And that's a number one, that's one of the number one, one of the second reasons, I believe, that so many of these children are defiant, rebellious, and doing what they want to do because they know if I go back to counseling, I'm going to use this authority I have as an adult against my parents, and I'm going to totally manipulate the situation. It's very sad. How many people know that's the law in the state of Pennsylvania for a 14-year-old? So I can only imagine what it's like in all of the other cities. But for Pennsylvania, that's big trouble right there. And Alicia, whatever way you Alicia, whichever way you want to go. We just giving her a minute. She might be on mute with her daughter. Or whoever wants to go while we're waiting for her.
Stacey, that might be my topic. That might be my topic. The valley has come to the hood. That might be my topic because, you know, I'm not a fan of desegregation. But the valley has come to the hood. And these movements that we're seeing, especially that one, that's what I don't mean to offend nobody, but that's white people's foolishness. And now our kids are being affected by it. They go to school with them. The state is, you know, moved around it. And now we telling black kids they can do the same thing that white kids do, but white kids ain't getting shot for it. And their parents ain't going to jail for it. They don't have to deal with slow singing and flower burning. Now, do they sell drugs? Yes, and now we all know, meth, fentanyl, you name it. But our kids are going to prison. Our kids laying in body bags, bro, because the law said they don't have to respect us. The law said they don't have to deal with us. Don't that sound like some slavery stuff to you?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm with you 100% on that.
This all go back to, look, this all go back to the plantation. I keep trying to tell folks. So my kid don't belong to me is what you're saying. A 14-year-old can do that. My child don't belong to me then. But I can go to jail for truancy and have to show up in court.
You on the money because you know what?
My God.
If you don't, your child can remove you from everything, all of their mental health needs. But if you don't provide for that child and they do end up in truancy court, you going to jail or you going to pay a hefty fine. Yes, you are.
You know what? The greatest advice, God bless his soul, that my dad gave me right before I had Major, is parenting starts. Your establishing trust with that child begins the moment it slides out your womb. And you have to put your child in a mental state to understand that they don't desire to ever want to use that or do that. Even if they hear it in school, it's like, y'all full of foolishness. I'm going home to my parents. I don't have to take this. I'm calling my mom and my daddy on y'all, and I'm calling them right now. Like, we have to put our kids in the understanding that the law can't protect you the way we do. The court can't protect you the way we do. Nobody can protect you. You are not safer anywhere else than you are here in your village. And we got to get it to them when they start breathing. We can't wait till they toddlers. No, they have to understand their sovereignty with us, even as babies.
That's right. But, you know, I love what you said. And, Marilyn, please chime in whenever you're ready. But I love what you said, that your son is out there playing with some of the older children and that your husband, it's time for him to have that talk with him so that he don't learn from the older children. That is powerful. And that's how it should be. Or, you know, Leisha had mentioned, and Leisha, if you are listening in the moment, you could, you know, you're free to chime back in. Please do so. But Leisha brought up the topic of learned behaviors. And our children learn from us at home. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people that's not training their children or teaching them the right things. And throughout the show, that's what we've been highlighting. But I also want to highlight that there are wonderful parents that are doing a wonderful job that are teaching their children how to be honorable, respectful, how to walk in integrity. They have morals, and they're doing great things. And even with all of that greatness, sometimes they find themselves in a situation where bad choices are made. And, you know, we could talk about the pros, we could talk about the cons, but at the end of the day, what is that child doing when mom and dad is not around? We don't know. But we do know that for those parents that did the right thing and the best that they could, they're not responsible for the choices that their children make once they get out of their presence. But due to the law, depending on what actions, you know, they participated in, it comes back to the parents.
A lot of times when children are younger, we don't clamp down as we should when they're younger. And that is how you get a buck wild teenager. When the parents are not on one accord and that community is not on one accord, and that child learns that one parent can be manipulated for the other one, so forth and so on. This little small nuanced thing, then we're setting ourselves up to have to deal with a great and mighty battle when it becomes a teenager or becomes a young adult. But what I will say is the Bible says that the seed of the righteous is blessed. The generation of the upright is blessed. The seed of the righteous shall not be forsaken. And parents have to know God's word. The Bible tells us to keep him in remembrance of his word, and that is something we have to stand 10 toes down on without moving, that the seed of the righteous shall not be forsaken. We have to believe that for our children, and we have to call that for our children. They have to see us pray. They have to see us tarry. You know, they have to see us defend them. And, you know, they have to know that there is nothing that they can do that we won't find out about. Now, I know that sounds interesting, but the Spirit of God will drop a word into your soul about your child, and you will end up going get them, and they don't even know how you knew where they were. Like, that's how in tune we have to be for our babies, because Satan is really trying to steal our children. They have to, like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but Satan, you know how I love my boys, but until they learn to fear the Lord, they learn to fear their mom and dad. And I mean it, like, know we will snatch you. Know that we love you, but know that we will snatch you, and know that there is nothing that you can do in the dark that we won't find. So because we're so in tune to them now, my 8-year-old knows if I go do it, yeah, I can do it, but she might be standing there when I do it, or she might find out immediately thereafter, and the consequences stand. He knows that Nintendo Switch that he loves so much can disappear for a month, and it's not a bluff. You know, so that spiritual intuitiveness about where that child is and what that child is doing from birth, so I would say 10. This is not a conversation. This is a dictatorship because we're laying a foundation. There is a rigid discipline. We are trying to get your life in order. You still a kid? You still have fun? But you're laying some foundation. And that is so necessary.
I just wanted to say, with the DHS and DYS, they set it up so you can't really have authority in your house over your children, because if you do discipline them in a certain way, you know, they can use that and, you know, call DHS, and then, like you said, then somebody's sitting in your house. But we as Christians have to remember that the Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So even if the world is telling us, oh, this is the way that you have to do it, we still have to stand firm as Christian parents and train our children up in the way that they should go and teach them those biblical principles that are in this Bible that we go by, that these basic instructions for life that we live by, we have to instill them in our children and pray that what we're instilling in them, that they will, that God's promise is true, that we train them up in the way they should go, that they won't depart from it. So when they are out there and they're faced with a situation where they have to go with the crowd, and, you know, because everybody's, you know, fighting or whatever it is, or, you know, my parents wouldn't want this for me, this is not what my parents taught me, let me go home, or let me, you know, stop hanging with these kids, we would have to really pray that what we're putting in them, that it's going to take hold and bear fruit. It's going to take hold and bear fruit, that we're giving them those things, that when they out here away from us, when we can't be there to be accountable for what they're doing, that they are doing what we taught them. And we can't let the world or DHS or just, you know, whatever rules they put in place change how we're raising them. So even if it is popular for everybody to have a cell phone at 10, we have to know in our household that's not for us. We just can't, you know, cave into the peer pressure, because sometimes that's what we kind of tell ourselves, oh, well, all the other kids got it, so I got to get it. But that's the world. That's not us. So I think for Christian parents, anyway, that's something that we got to remember, that we have to instill the principles of God and know that they're going to take root and take hold in their lives.
Both of you, I mean, the whole conversation is just really, really good. And I am, Christian, did you want to respond to that?
Well, I will say this. I am thoroughly, you know, like I said, I believe in a village and a community, and God's word has to be law over that community. Now, I will urge parents to be careful regarding technology, especially when you're putting things like cell phones in your children's hands. But also, be aware of the world around you when you do. Like I said, I never, you know, initially when my kids were born, I was like, no, that's not what we're doing. That decision didn't change because of peer pressure. That decision changed because of the school system, period. That decision changed when, you know, evil decided it wanted to shoot up schools. That last school shooting that happened in Texas, one of the things that indicted law enforcement were kids were calling 911 from the classroom. I don't need my 8-year-old little black boy to be anywhere where he does not have access to his parents or will be denied access, as some schools will try to. So we have to know the difference between when we're taking a stand against peer pressure and we are laying, you know, we're taking a line against certain things versus paying attention to what's happening in the world around us so that our kids are not in certain situations where they cannot reach us. But I thoroughly agree. And something to think about when you're having your kids. When I was pregnant, I was offered a lot of services through Medicaid, right, for, you know, mothers and for children. And it was one particular service that was offered was where this nurse comes into your home and teaches you, supposed to teach you how, you know, to nurse your child and how to manage being a new mother and how to keep your house while having kids. It was, you know, it was laid out in such a flowery manner. And the Spirit of God in me said, no, that's not for you. And when I sat back and thought about it, once you allow the system into your house, they're in your house. You are in their files, and they're in your house. So sometimes when we're offered certain services, it may seem amazing, but those different things can thwart our parenting style. It can thwart what we're trying to lay down as a foundation in God's word for our children. So, like, the enemy is literally walking in our house and taking notes and creating challenges for us, which is why that village and community is so important. So that's just something to think about, too, when you're looking at different services, different things that you allow in your home. Like, you really have to let the Spirit of God lead you, because it can hinder your ability to parent. And I'm not even talking about chastisement, just what you're instructing your child to and what you're teaching them in those spaces.
Yeah. Amen, Kristen.
That's powerful. It's a powerful truth. And from the outside, it looks good. And I'm sorry, all I'm thinking about is those cartoons and they dangling that pretty carrot in front of you to try and get you to come on after it. And it's the biggest setup ever. You know, when we was praying earlier and I mentioned, you know, the spirit of Haman, and then I identified a lot of things, the cohorts connecting with it, but I mentioned genocide. And it's a little different than what Christian was just talking about, but if you think about how many innocent children and babies have died once they enter into the system, you know, in Pennsylvania it's called DHS, Department of Human Services, and everybody have their own names, but more children have died than have been placed in safe homes or received the proper care that they needed because of the level of neglect and not really investigating and doing what really needed to be done. Senseless deaths, some we will never ever know about, but Christian, that was on point. And once they get in your life, they listen, you under magnifying glass, everything you do is being watched. You have no personal life. They're in everything. And then your children, they may innocently say something one day and you know, go back and tell what happened in the house, and it could be blown out of proportion. But you know what? It'll move them out of your home. And yeah, it's really sad.
Oh,
That happened to us with housing. And we were not knowing, like when you talk about stepping out on God's word to provide, stepping out on faith to provide every need, you know, not to be transparent, but when we had major, we were just trying to build, you know, and we were on housing. And the lady that comes, the people come in and inspect the house or whatever that they have to do. And I was feeding him. And she told me something about, he doesn't have to eat all that. He doesn't need those vegetables. Girl, you're just being too tight as a mother. It's something that white lady said to me along those lines. And I was feeding him, and it was none of her business what my child was eating. Yes, he has to eat his vegetables. I know he ain't like peas, but he was going to eat those peas that day. And it was almost like she was trying to rebuke me or correct me when I knew what I was doing wasn't wrong. And I told my husband when he came home, I said, look, I don't know how we're going to pay the rent. I really don't. And I'm just going to have to trust God. We are going to have to trust God that he will provide every need according to his riches and glories, because they got to get out of my house, and they got to get out right now. Like, I don't ever want that woman back in my house ever again. Mm-hmm. She cannot come back here. So go down to the housing office and, you know, be the man of the house. That's what that means. You head, be head now. Go down to the housing office and get us off of it now. Right now. The next morning, he had to get up, go down to the housing office, and it was nothing but an act of God. He got a job offer that same week, and the difference would have paid the amount the landlord wanted for the rent. But it was just when they came in, and that woman thought that she was going to correct me about something as little as the vegetables I am putting in my son's mouth, then I already know that the the hit out on black kids, they would just try to eat me alive. They would, you know, consider me abusive as a parent because my children are not allowed to watch TV during the school. Something that simple would be deemed as abusive to the children.
Right.
You know, so pack your system up and go.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Systems of this world that will try to infiltrate your household and change, you know, what you're doing, what you're going to see, you know, the fruit that you want to see out of your children and out of their lives. They want to change that and make it a negative or a terrible experience, taking kids out of their parents' household, putting them in abusive foster homes, where even worse things happen to them than what could have happened or would have happened in their home with the parent, where they are the safest, as you said, Kristen. It's just amazing to me that we have this push for, to stop people from being able to end pregnancies and whatnot. But when they bring these children in the world, we're not taking care of them. We're not even making sure they're not being shot up at school. We're not even making sure they have formula to drink. You know what I mean? That we would even be in a position as the country that we are to not have enough formula for the children that you care about, that we need to make sure that we bring it for. It's something wrong with all of that when you really think about it. And you said it goes back to slavery, Kristen. It goes
absolutely
back to slavery.
Yep. There's too many people in the country. We've been in a state of depression since 1865 because none of us were supposed to be free. We were all supposed to be, you know, tending master field and carrying on the bank.
But and then think about it. When I said the spirit of Haman and I mentioned genocide, with the billions of babies that have been aborted in this country, how many of them was black? African-American.
No, no. And here's the thing. When we start talking about abortion, that becomes like, that is such an ugly slope, because do you realize that 63 to 70% of abortions in this country are handed out by white women and not even us? How about we talk about you killing our babies in the maternity wards? You killing us on the table in the process. Black women have the highest mortality rate of any medical issue procedure going into a hospital. We got to plead the blood. Y'all, I've known Stacey for a long time. Stacey knew when I went into labor, she got a message on her phone that said it's showtime. And every time she gets a message that says it's showtime, I mean, you got to get everybody you know and start praying, because I'm trying everybody that came in here is everybody that needs to go home.
That's right.
But while
we're looking at the issue,
they're trying to take a uterus, and I know this is going to sound bad, y'all forgive me, but they're trying to take a uterus and put it in a genetically God-created male, and they need a body to do that. Well, you know what? That has to come out of a cadaver. Who are they killing, though, y'all?
Eve gene
is what woman? So, I mean, I can't. You don't want to let me raise my child. But you don't want me to give birth to my child. So I'm not even the subject of abortion. Black women need to go and exit that conversation right now, because we're not the ones killing the kids at a dime a dozen. We're the ones being killed, having them, or our babies are dying in a maternity ward. Or you're taking our kids to NICU, and you're killing our kids, and the doggone NICU. And then you're going, if they live, my God, then you're going to kill them on the street. You have your cops kill them on the street.
Yeah.
And then let's not forget COVID, the pandemic, all of these black people that died, and they say it was COVID, it was not COVID. They turned those respirators up so high that it blew their lungs out. And it was a Caucasian nurse. She sounded the alarm. She let everybody know what they were doing, and she went to the administrators of the hospitals. I mean, she raised a lot of noise. I don't know where she's at today. I don't even know if she's still alive today. But this woman spoke the truth. She said, if you are African-American and you're struggling with COVID, you having any kind of symptoms, stay in the room with your loved ones, because they are killing these black people. And I mean billions. I don't know the numbers. But they did not die because of COVID. They were murdered. And that's why I'm always going to come against the spirit of Haman, because it's associated with the spirit of genocide.
And we have to think about it. You have to have enough black people in this country to keep it running. You have to have enough of us here for innovation. There needs to be enough of us here, because there's a fight between who built it and who owns it. And who built it is going to keep it and have to keep it running. So you can't, you know, you can't have too many of us go under the table. We can't fall too, you know, too far below 11% of the population. But when you actually look at what's happening, and then we start talking about the subject of parenting, like, case in point, we talk about violence in movies and violence on TV. You know what? The argument about violence has been made so many times. Let me tell you something. Our kids are not picking up guns and going out in the streets because they saw violence on TV. Let me be real with y'all. They're not picking up guns because they play Call of Duty. They're picking up guns because that is the state of existence to understanding for black kids. They are understood when they come here that their life is expendable. So if their life is expendable, then everybody else's life is expendable. Because you can sit here and get your daily dose of violence at 5, 6, and 10 on the news. Just being abreast on current events. Our children are sitting on television watching an entire war in Ukraine play out right in front of their faces. No different than our ancestors and elders did when they watched World War II play out in front of their faces. Or World War I of Vietnam play out in front of their faces. But at some point, our people have to understand, look, you are a target. We need community. Have people around your children that can cover them and you in prayer. And your children need to know who they are. My kids have never met Stacy physically, but they know exactly who she is, and they know how to access her on Facebook. They know what her phone number is. She don't even know it yet, but her phone number is in my little boy's phone. She get a random 504 phone number. It might be 8-year-old little Major, but the phone number of every single adult in our village is in that child's phone. And it's built there ain't too many places in the country my child can end up, and he don't have a lifeline. If the world is smaller because of globalization, that we need to use to our advantage. As we reach out over the internet and God gives us family and gives us community in multiple different places, once upon a time, look, 20 years ago, I would have never known a Stacy because I'm in Louisiana and she's in Philadelphia. But because of socialization, because of social media, you have to use it for its good. I know somebody in Philly. If I had to send my child to Philadelphia, I got somebody to call for him. If I have to send my child to D.C., I have somebody I can call for him. There's almost no place that I can send Major or Trey, and there's nobody I can call for him. We have to have community, children of God, men and women of God for our kids, because I promise you the devil got them for his.
See, and that's her training her children, you know what I mean, to build village and to build a community. That's part of a parent's job. That's what we're talking about when we say train up a child in the way he should go. Training him up to know that he needs community. He needs to know people that can pray for him and cover him and his family in prayer. That's good.
Look, we don't do that. I know Stacy know me. In this house, they hear we don't do that. We black. They hear that. They hear it because it's the truth. It's a call. We don't do that. We black. Well, Mama, I was going to run outside. You don't have shoes on, son. Well, we don't do that with black sons. We don't do that with Christian sons. Well, I would think we don't do that with Christian sons. God is not pleased, son. We don't do that. We don't move like that, son. Well, my teacher told me I didn't have to say yes, ma'am. Oh, did she now?
Ladies, the time is running out. We're in the countdown. Can thank everyone I thank you all for joining us. And Leisha never made it back to the mic, but I want to give everyone an opportunity to give your closing remarks. And I had asked Marilyn to share a scripture. And she's going to share that scripture and give her closing remarks. Then you could go, Christian, with your, you know, whatever it is that y'all want to leave with the listeners tonight.
Well, I want to give you two scriptures, and one is Proverbs 22:6, and that's to train up your child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart. Train up your child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Train up your child in love. Train up your child in community and spiritual family. Train up your child in prayer. And the other thing is I want to give you Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give you delight to your heart. If you train them up right and discipline them correctly, they will give you delight and not heartache. And that's my final word.
Amen. Christian?
Amen. Two thoughts. One, if you beat them, they will not die. Two, even Jesus learned through the things that he suffered. I know Stacey laughing at me over there. Two, Jesus learned through the things he suffered. Build a community for your children and hold yourself accountable to it. Be accountable before God in front of your children. Be accountable to the people of your community because you need help. None of us can do this alone. And last but not least, enforce the law, enforce the rule of law in your house from the moment that child enters this world. Do not wait for them to be toddlers or, heaven forbid, children, adolescents. It's too late then. Do that now and let God lead and guide you as to what needs to happen with your babies, but surround them with people that will love them. Build their community.
Amen.
And for Christian
saying that if you beat your child, it will not kill them, I'm going to back it up with Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof your wisdom.
Come on.
But a child left
Come
to
on.
Himself brings shame to his mother. So
Come on. Come on. Look, lay them out. They're going to live. They'll survive it. I promise you. But either you going to look. Everybody, either we can cry now or everybody going to cry later.
Cry later.
And you know what? I wish Lisa was available because when she started,
hey,
she really broke.
Can y'all hear me?
Oh, now we can. Yeah,
hey,
she
y'all.
Broke
I'm
down.
Sorry. I've been listening. My baby has been going like bonkers. But anyway, I agree. It says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Yeah, beat them. That does not necessarily mean that you don't love them. God
right.
chastises us. So if our Father chastises us, we are responsible for the child that He's given us, whether the father is there or not. So sometimes you have to be the mom and you got to be the dad. So hey. It ain't nothing wrong with beating them. We got beat, and it did not. And it was different then because we had the opportunity. We got parents in school. We had neighborhood people that was able to whoop us. It was different then. You know what I'm saying? So it takes a village to raise these kids. But if they're in the wrong village, then that's what the problem is. They're in the wrong village. So we have to recreate the village, and we got to get back to taking back the authority in the household. You can't let your child. You can't let them raise up on you, and you go to your room. Nah. You got to come back and be like, look, bruh, it ain't going down like that, and
birth.
You better sleep with both your
come
eyes
on.
Open, okay?
Nah, you come, you raise up on me, I'm sliding you in that moment.
And then you pray over them later. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't want that. You just don't want that. So my thing is,
you raise up, you
just live. It takes a village, but guess what? If you raise up on me, it's gonna be we gonna rise and fly. Okay? Somebody might not make it back.
Amen. Definitely, I already
ain't
know.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I was
guess
told.
What? I carried it.
Look, my
so
sons are
going to
be tall. They'll be my height.
you don't get the opportunity to do that because you didn't carry me.
Amen.
So, and it's okay to get in your child's business. That's perfectly okay to do. Do it. Get in their business.
Gotcha.
Find out who they're hanging with. Find out who their friends is. Find out where they at, who their girlfriends, their boyfriends, whatever. Find out who they hanging with. And what they and find out
Take
what they talk about.
Take them
out to
if
eat.
You got
you know what?
They ain't got no privacy.
No, ain't no privacy. I'm not knocking on your door before I come here. If I pay the bills, then I'm coming in. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, a lot of times we give them too much.
Yeah.
We give them too much sometimes. So it's just like, okay. And a lot of young men feel like they the man of the house. You the son of the house.
Right.
You not the father of the house. And if it's a single mom, then you the mom and you the dad of the house. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, you got to take that back. You got to take your house all back. You got to run it the way that you know is correct. Whatever that
right.
looks like for you.
These little boys
you gotta go
being men of the house,
hey,
to be honest,
go
that's too much pressure on a child to take.
But you blow a fresh anointing through your household. Every time you walk, you're blowing a fresh anointing through your household. So, therefore, the enemy don't get the opportunity to run rampant in your house as long as you walk.
And you know
Come
what?
On.
That is so true. But like we was talking, I mean, there is no but. We exposed the spirit of fear earlier. And there are too many parents that are living in their house afraid of their children, and the children is running things. The devil is a liar.
Yes, he is.
Yes,
Lord.
It's time. Look, in the army, they like toe the line. These parents need to toe the line. How are you going to be scared of your child? You know? And it's like they could take you to court. You could get locked up in. You know, we have to really think about things. The scripture that I want to leave. Look, I know that's right. The scripture I want to share is Proverbs, the first chapter. When you get time, it's the verses 10 through 19. But this is really, really crucial to me. But it says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us ambush the innocent without cause.'" Verse 12, "Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, the place of the dead, even whole as those who go down to the pit of death. We all find and take kinds of precious possessions. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us, they insist. We will all have one money bag in common." So I say that to say there's nothing new under the sun. God broke down in his word what these young jitterbugs doing out on the corner today. And I'm calling them young jitterbugs because dig this. They doing the same stuff that the older jitterbugs did. At the end of the day, they enticing people, they alluring people, they entrapping people, they are shedding blood and ambushing the innocent without cause, they causing death, they murdering people, and what is it all about? Filthy lucre. They making their money selling drugs, killing babies, making mothers cry. Like, come on. God's word is real, and so we need to come against the spirit of enticement for our children because too many of them are being enticed. Too many of them are being seduced. And guess what? Not all of them are coming from broken homes where parents don't care. They're coming from all kinds of backgrounds because some mom and dad is not there, but you know grandmom done taught them everything from Genesis to Revelation, whether they wanted to hear it or not. And she instilled morals. But there is end time spirits out here that is on an assignment to destroy our young people, period.
Yeah.
So we in overtime, so I'm not sure if it's still being recorded or not, but we are going to – well, that was my ending. That was my closing statement. Like, we have to be mindful of the tactics of the enemy. And before you two ladies came on, Marilyn and I, God was really exposing the works of the enemy. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. And the prayer was very rich. And if everybody could just still be very prayerful about this topic, because what everybody brought to the table tonight was very, very real. And I'm still, you know, I keep mentioning Alicia because she broke that thing down so well. And I could just picture her doing a skit with Cat Williams about that, because the jargon, like just how she, her presentation, it was real. But these people, these young people, they have no etiquette. And so this, you know, all of the songs, I believe the children are the future. If that's what our future is looking like, listen, we in trouble.
We in trouble.
Because they don't know how to dress. They don't know how to talk. They don't even know nothing about a job. So,
right.
You know, prayerfully, this message will reach people and they will have it. What would bless me is if some parent, if parents or anybody heard this message and pulled their young people to them and say, you know what, let's listen to this and let's talk about it. What do you get from this? That would bless me more than anything, because they need a platform to utilize their voice in a positive way and not a negative way. So I need to have some events, and I'm working on that, where we could provide that platform for them. So, ladies, thank you so much. If anything has stood out to you personally where you feel as though we need to do a part two or part three or whatever, just please inbox me. But Leisha and Christian, you two will be co-hosting. Christian will be co-hosting next, and then Leisha will co-host. And you guys just get your topics to me. And we thank everyone for listening. This is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We thank you for your participation and your support. And this was a part two of self-destruction. And we want to walk in love. Hate does not have to take control. We all have to make a choice to love. We can accept love and we can reject the hate. And that's the turning point of everyone's breakthrough. So love you all and have a blessed night.
Love you. God bless. Good night, y'all.
God bless. Good night.